Shop Talk.
Shop Talk. It's 100% real. The unfiltered truth.
Shop Talk.
Scratch that. I suggest you echo that. Shop Talk.
Fireful. Wagwan crowd of people, you don't know. It's your boy D Burns. I'm there with Kingsley and Ray and Douglas so far. We have a special guest in studio, and this is another episode of Shop Talk. You don't know when I stop talk. Douglas telling us it's not a flop talk zine. And this week, our episode is called Just a Friend. And crowd of people, this is the final episode for the season. You don't know the thing, but when we talk about Just a Friend, I remember learning the Mario Just a Friend song on cassette when me a little youth. Some people don't know what cassette, them only know CD and MP3 player and them little thing there, iPod. But a cassette, me learned that song, they pan me have to rewind it 100 times and then listen the lyrics. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say I'm just a friend.
Say I'm just a friend, cause I can't.
Boy, you don't know the thing, but when I hear me, I say,
no more.
Once again, it's another episode of Shop Talk. We have a very, very, very special guest in studio. Today, I'm soon introducing, but Ryan, what do you have to say to the people there?
Burns, I just want to say, yo, thank you to the Shop Talk family. You've been supporting us from, when did we start? I think it was Sunday, June 7th.
Yeah,
and right now we're on episode 10. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for the love and for the support you've been showing us. You know, you have people who have been DMing me, like, me feel like a real, like, celebrity. yeah, people who have been DMing me. And just remember, you can listen to the episodes. You know, you can go back and listen from 1 to 10 at shoptalkja.buzzsprout.com. You can also check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, iHeartRadio, among other podcast streaming sites. Remember, follow us on Instagram at shoptalkja. And on Facebook at shoptalkja.com.
So we're both up on Twitter now too.
We are.
Same thing, shoptalkja. Shoptalk.ja, you see me?
Look at mentions, you know.
We do?
Yeah, man.
Oh, well, when that's that? I didn't know we were on Twitter.
Yeah, man.
But you're not really frequent Twitter though.
No, but I Twitter is on my phone, so now we get a little tag. Like then people say, boy, Rayon made a good point.
Maybe they just never tag you, isn't it? But yeah, man, we're up on Twitter now, so we're on all social media platforms, crowd of people, so you don't have no excuse for not listening to Shop Talk. You see me afford from?
True.
So just stop by, take a listen, you see me, tune in and see what I go on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole heap of things to discuss this week, you see me? But before we get into that, we have a very special guest in studio, and this is the man responsible for all of the stars when it comes to publicity. See, in all of the stars, the man, when you talk about publicity and publicists and the man will make everything known and people know what I go on and know, say, yo, that I go, this, bam, this is the man. You see me afford from? So he's a consultant at Prism Marketing Consultants. Zin, big, major player in the entertainment industry. And we don't really know him, you know, because he's a man where...
Melbourne, this sound like you look at publicists.
John was star. Anyway. You know what? So he's a major player in the entertainment industry, but we don't know him because he's a man who really lurk in the shadows.
Yeah.
You see me afford from? He really come out of the light. He's lurking in the shadows.
Yeah.
Zin, this man is Raymond Shadow Small. Wagwan Shadow.
Hey, what's up, man? Respect. Boy, that introduction, I thought you were introducing Jay-Z or somebody.
Yeah, you know the thing going on.
Like, that sounded like he was a massive star. I mean, for somebody who just kind of...
Lurking in the shadows.
Operate outside of the fray.
Yeah. So, talk to me, Shadow.
Well, you know, mention said...
Dog is back. No, why your tongue so blue? Me not get it.
Wait,
your
what?
Your tongue is blue. Douglas, your tongue is blue.
Oh, I was thinking Gatorade on the over here.
Cool.
Douglas, a.k.a. Blue Tongue.
And
what do you mean?
I know about blue balls. I know about blue tongue.
What is... Yo, later, guys. Later.
I say, if you have blue tongue, I don't know what that is.
Yo... You know, say off topic because when I stay upon Ray on topic, you know, that girl asked why D Burns have to say everything three times.
Yes, yes, yes.
Grown up people, grown up people. Listen, man. What may I say?
Major talk about. Yo, we have a whole heap,
The thing you guys don't know about Melbourne is that he's a triple threat.
Melbourne, isn't it?
Although Melbourne, I'm a name. Isn't it? I forward from Crowder people. Melbourne Lloyd Douglas, the second is the name, and my son will be Melbourne Lloyd Douglas, the third. Theme son will be the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and so on. Isn't it? I forward from. It's a legacy where I start. Isn't it? So Shadow, talk to
Shadow.
The entertainment industry, Zine, just. Give us a little synopsis of what you do within the entertainment industry so that people can know who Shadow is.
Well, as I said, I'm somebody that operates, you know, outside of the fray. I mean, Tajna knows me personally and she knows I'm not one for the spotlight. So that is why, unless you know me personally, you won't know.
Pretty much
I've worked with almost any and everybody who is anybody in the industry.
That means I'm anybody then. But cool. Right. Yeah, continue.
No, but no.
I feel like Shadow is a man who you have to interview. Like you have interview him like Ian Boy and interview people.
So Shadow.
Yeah. How long have you been in the entertainment industry?
I've been in the industry for a solid 17 years.
17 years.
Yes.
Fascinating. Yes. And over these 17 years, you've worked with anybody, everybody.
Almost everybody who is anybody. Yes. Bounty Killer, Vibes Cartel, Idonia, Movado, Governor.
Alkaline?
Actually, I will tell you about Alkaline. My nephew actually went to Arden, and one day went to Arden to pick him up from school. And Alkaline was actually in the same class with him.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew's like, oh, you know, this is my uncle, and, you know, he's into the music business. He manages a couple people, and he's also a publicist. And Alkaline reached out and said, oh, Father Shadow, you know, sir, may I try to do this music thing, and I have this song, and I just want you to give it a ears and see what can happen for it. And I took the song, I listened to it, and I actually called DJ Calico, who actually works for Miss Kitty, and I said, listen to this track. This kid sound like Vibes Cartel 2.0.
Yeah.
And he took the song, played it a couple of times. I sent it to a couple of people, Johnny Cool, and I called, I think it was Davina Henry at the Star. And I said, give this kid an interview and hear what he has to say, because I think he has the potential to become something massive in the industry.
Yeah.
Right? And lo and behold, Alkaline is who he is. But here's the irony of that situation, is that I went to, I think it was UE, Student Union, in the apex of his career. And I saw him, and he saw me, but because he was walking with his whole entourage, he just looked at me and walked past. And I just shrugged my head.
That brings me to the next thing. A lot of people who work in PR and like artist management, they keep echoing that it's a very ungrateful sport. Would you agree? You say no. Yes, no.
It is, because sometimes the issue with a lot of these entertainers is that they tend to forget how everything started.
Yeah.
And one of the most important player in the industry, especially in an artist's career, is his publicist. Because the thing is that when you're starting out, you are an absolute nobody.
Yeah.
And what you need is a publicist who is going to go there and sell this.
Create a story.
It's literally a fallacy, you know.
Yeah.
That you are this thing that you are not.
Yeah.
And you want people to buy into that concept and start to believe it. But the more they buy and believe into it, is the more you transcend as an artist.
Why does it have to be a fallacy, though? Maybe you are that thing.
Let me tell you what. From, you know, and man like Kingsley, because we both work in, I guess, advertising.
Yeah. PR and all that.
Yeah. It's like you... The audience, which is the people who are buying music.
Yeah, man, the listeners.
Their experience exists at what you'd call the intersection of, like, a promise, a brand promise.
Yeah.
And what a brand promise is, like, let's say...
Young artists, my open our list, you know. Listen and get the tips. Got you.
What your brand promise is basically what you and your PR team, the way you want to curate yourself, okay, you know, cool. The way you go dress, the way you go look.
The narrative where you create.
Yeah, you put that out there. So that's your brand promise. And from that brand promise comes a kind of expectation from the people.
Yeah.
So people now go really fall in love with you until them say, boy, D-Burn's the artist, Alkaline the artist, Bounty Killer the artist. This is what Bounty Killer...
This is his brand.
This is his brand. And this is my say.
Yeah.
And then develop an expectation of it. That's why when... if Bounty Killer come out now and Bounty Killer perform in a, like, let's say,
full white.
But him do full white already,
okay,
I think.
Mean,
but let's him do full white
or blue. Black.
You said, but this is not within Bounty Killer's
framework.
Framework. Yeah. You know, but that framework is something, yeah, that a lot of artists would have, because I know artists. I know, yeah, artists who intentionally curate themselves in the way they want to be,
yeah,
to be received. And that's, yeah, how we do it. Like, we're, yeah, nerds in high school.
Yeah.
You're a nerd in high school, you go UA, all right, you want to be a boy at UA.
Yeah.
You consciously,
yeah, man,
PR yourself.
Image, yeah,
you,
yeah,
buy,
yeah,
different clothes.
Yeah, man.
You talk, yeah, different, you go to different places. Because PR is not just write one article and put,
nah,
it in, yeah, the paper. PR is lived culture. Yeah.
It's lifestyle.
Yeah, it's lifestyle.
And it's the consistency at which you tell that story,
yeah,
and how you elevate that story each,
yeah,
time. So, using the whole fallacy concept, think of Messi when somebody came to the training.
Who's camp. That?
Messi, Lionel Messi, footballer.
What you just said?
Right? Well, yeah, I remember the footballer.
No, football.
No,
you can't. If you don't know football,
if you don't know, if you don't know football, you know Ronaldo.
Okay.
You know Ronaldo. You know Ronaldo, but you'll know Ronaldo, but not necessarily Messi.
You know Messi.
You
don't know. You
don't
know
the greatest. You don't know must know Messi if you know.
But what I'm saying is that when a scout came to that training camp in Argentina, it's the coach who said, "You see that little boy over there? He's going to be the best player in the world," and that is the brand promise.
Yeah.
Now, each time Messi...
almost right.
Right? So, each time Messi went into that training camp and him kicked the ball a certain way and passed the ball a certain way,
yeah,
that's him telling a story, yeah, each time, and that's how PR works. So, him scored a goal, maybe he has the potential to be the best player.
Yeah.
Him go Barcelona, him scored 40 goals in one season.
Yeah.
This brother is a real deal. And he keeps adding to that narrative each time. And now he's one of the GOATs of all time.
So for sure. And, you know, I like to look at artists and evaluate their brands and,
yeah,
their brand promise and stuff like that. And I mean, of course, Manon, as I say, me say Protégé, Monotone, and you have people there, me and say, me and fight all them artists. And Love Protégé's 7-year itch album favorite, one of my favorites, but me just don't like the other material I put out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, me talk a little bit about his camp, mm-hmm, now, which, you know, that has Leela, Savannah. Oh, God, I hope they're not killing me.
Marty my name camp now.
Marty my name camp too. Yeah. And there's Jazz Ellis,
yeah,
you know.
Naomi
Cowens. Naomi Cowens, yeah.
She in there too? All right.
Yeah, she is.
if you look 10 years ago, or let's say 15 years ago, the way, and let me not go back so far. Look at Kelissa and Janine,
mm-hmm,
and the women who are singing when this reggae revival started.
Yeah.
It's weird that, you know, people like them and I like Janine, but Janine has a niche, but there was just some level of resonance that, let's say, Leela Aike and,
yeah,
Coffee and,
yeah,
Savannah are having
right now.
It to me it's more profound, and I started to examine something that there's this very liminal thing, this very gray area thing about.
Just go for a sip, please. Explain to the crowd of people what liminal means.
there's just this very gray area thing where, like, you see Leela, I can tell that she look like James Brown. She now a full James Brown suit, and, yeah, then tomorrow you see her, she look rough, like she ready to fight you.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow you say she looks so soft and femme.
Yeah.
And
but you know, I like that about her.
Me not say me never like it. Me never say me never like it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Me never say me never like it.
I guess Doug is here.
Welcome.
Whether it's a thing they're conscious of or not, that I for them I make a brand promise that resonate with the ethos of people, the people of now, because,
yeah,
Gen Z, we whatever, just very, for want of a better word, fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been mirrored in the art, and good PR would actually, like, streamline that. The,
yeah,
only problem I have with it now is, like, if I were their PR, like, I just feel like sometimes I feel like they're crashing into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes they feel like the same people, like,
yeah,
it's weird. It's
yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, I think PR is something that could
separate,
streamline them, and make,
yeah,
them, yeah,
tell different,
make it more
stories,
deliberate. Because PR is a very,
yeah,
deliberate thing.
Yeah,
you know, yeah,
yeah. No, I agree with you. And Shadow, how do you respond to something like? Do you feel like Savannah Leela and...
You sure Shada can't speak on that?
He's a publicist. Maybe he sees it as, you know, maybe they're telling similar stories at the same
King's
time.
King's a disclaimer, by the way, me love Savannah. Savannah is my friend.
No, man, I'm a girl. Them,
nice. Mango.
Me love her like
Mango.
So, Shadow, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, when you look at all three of them, they do have similar styles. And as you rightfully say, you probably need to have some sort of a campaign, which a clear-cut campaign where they're going to sit down and say, okay, this is how we're going to brand each of you.
Yes.
And what we do, we just kind of follow those narratives and make sure that everything goes according to plan. Yeah. But as you said, sometimes you look at all three of them and it just looks like a monolith. Like, yeah, you know, all of them are just the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you definitely would want to streamline some sort of campaign to create differentiation between them.
Are these some young artists you would be, I don't know if you've worked with them, but is it something that you would like to do?
I've never worked with them. I think out of the new batch of talents, the only person I've done some stuff with is Jada Kingdom at one point. And presently I'm a part of Governor's management team. And Idol, that kid that sing the rental song.
Nice. And then you know, Governor falls into our conversation that we're having now about rebranding and just, you know, just shifting gear. Because I
was... Governor is in Six or something like that?
No, he's not. Governor is in
Jenna
JOP.
Fort Jenna.
I was at George's. And every concert, every fear, any panwenak,
Diablo
the pan stage. And when I was in first form, and them say, yo, no, we have Diablo. The whole place lift up.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy was always...
So he went to George's as well?
He went to George's as well. Okay. So he was always... And when ball game I play, I don't know, come cross, whatever, them have them camp. Yeah. So he was sure always meant... Man, yeah, man, everybody. Yeah. So he was always meant to be a star.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the next Idonia or even bigger.
Or just governor.
But for me, it just took a little while. There was a time when he was just quiet, and then he rebranded, and now him a governor, and now him just all over the place. So I don't know if you had something to do with that, Shadow, or if it's that him just find it, and then you just, you know, you're trying to streamline it now.
I mean, I met Governor when he was at St. George's.
Mm-hmm.
I met him at St. George's. I think that was his last year. I think it was 2007, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he basically became a part of the camp. But what happened is that everybody in there pretty much just became like almost like a mimic, a mirror of Idonia in terms of his style.
Yeah. Agreed.
And
agreed.
The way things are done.
Agreed.
And we just realized, like, listen, there is one Idonia. We really don't need a second one.
Yeah.
So what we need to do, but as I said, it took a couple of years.
Yeah.
And eventually in 2017.
Yeah.
I think it was 2016. Me and Governor sat down and he said to me, boy, Shadow, the thing look away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, look away. And we need to fix things.
Yeah.
So the first thing we need to do is we need to work on the name. Because we actually went to Europe. I think we were in Spain to be exact. And they introduced him on stage and said, Diablo. But you know, Diablo in Spanish means devil.
Devil, everybody was
just kind of like,
ooh.
Okay, so why is it?
And those people are Catholics.
Stage? Right.
So they know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're very religious.
Diablo, hey, Diablo.
So the decision was taken based on the fact that he did the song with Idonia earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's called Run Road.
Yeah, Run Road.
Right. And he did refer to himself as the governor.
Yeah.
So he decided, okay, going forward, we're going to brand you as governor.
Governor, yeah.
And then the next thing we're going to do is that you're going to rescind from constantly traveling with Idonia.
Yeah.
So we don't want this kind of thing where you have this 2-for-1 deal.
Yes.
Idonia shows up and we know Govy.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know what you're saying?
No, I don't know if you're finished, but I was enjoying that time.
No, let him get his point.
You just make it look like I'm interrupting the man. Like,
but you did.
But it's not like him didn't have middle at one point. He made a point.
He was giving us a timeline. He was at 2017. We're at 2020 now.
Yeah, yes. The whole 3 years at the rap
with. Conversation, him now preach.
All right, go on.
Right. So I like the fact that's why I said PR is a very deliberate thing. So I mean, like the fact that there was that pause to kind of create that level of separation between brand Idonia and brand Diablo at the time. at the time. But the same thing I think probably needs to happen with the young ladies we spoke about, more like somebody needs to stop and say, how are we going to be more deliberate about how we curate each of you?
Precisely.
Because when Leela's
EP
came out, and and our first song, the thing came out, I was just like, okay, this is interesting. This is stretching Leela. I mean, it's a little bit softer. And using softer loosely, and you know, the pearl stuff. And then when I was watching Mango, when Mango came out yesterday, I realized that this Savannah had some of the same pearl motifs and stuff.
Yeah.
On our face.
Even the visuals. Even the visuals. The same.
So mind you, I think it's something that works better for Savannah. I like that part. Savannah more.
Yeah.
But I think somebody probably just need to sit and say, "Oh, yeah, we'll go sort out this."
Yeah.
Unless they're deliberate in what they're doing and decides that they want. So that's for them thing. But I get what you're saying.
Like marketing themselves as a
collective.
A girl group.
You think we're three, but we're one.
Yeah.
But Shara, continue with your conversation still.
Just a quick segue though, because there's also the strategy sometime where if you're trying to be successful, most people who do marketing understand this concept. If you're trying to be successful, what you do is look at what is working in the space and you create something similar.
Yep.
Right? And if people see it and like it, eventually, if you market it enough and you get to a point where you're established, then you're able to break away and then create your, and then you can facts then set.
No, I think there's a difference though, where in the case where, let's say, Brand Bolt is out there and Brand Bolt is doing great.
Right.
And then a young athlete decides to aspire and mirror Brand Bolt, then fly away from Brand Bolt, versus 2 to 3 young athletes at the same time branding themselves in the same way. I think to me there's a difference.
Yes, there is. Yeah. There is, because as you said, I mean, alluding to the example you just spoke to a while ago, you could also say it pretty much was the same thing with a Vibes Cartel and an Alkaline, as much as he will constantly deny it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we all know.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He borrowed
but then he found himself.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the thing, because what you want to do, you take something that works, use it, and you get to a point. Once you transcend to a particular level, then you can deviate.
So I have a perfect example.
Is that what Stark, Ashley, and Jada Kingdom are doing now?
Possibly. I am friends with Jada. I can't speak to that. Jada is managed by...
Are you friends
with Stark,
Ashley, because I love her?
No, they both know pretty much they sound alike. Right?
Yeah, no,
but it's a thing I realize. I guess the person who could best speak to that would be Julian. Julian, former Movado's former manager.
Yeah.
Right. So he could speak to that, because I think both of them are under his tutelage.
Yeah. An example I want. So I will always refer to sports because that's what I watch. Kobe Bryant, when he came into the league, he idolized Michael Jordan. Right? Idolized him. He did everything like Jordan. He talked like him, walked like him, dressed like him, played like him. He was obsessed. And when he learned MJ's game and perfected him...
Him start making own a tweak.
Precisely. He got to a point, you said, you go to a point where people like it enough, and then you just transcend, you evolve, you deviate, you become your own thing.
Yeah.
So Kobe was MJ until Kobe was Kobe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then Kobe... A lot of people mirror Kobe and know they're trying to deviate from that. You know, so I agree with you. Marketing works like that sometimes. You see something at work, it does all right, let me do it.
But and I still believe it works differently when it's colleague versus like mentor, mentee situation. One of the most beautiful things about the Alliance, when the Alliance was at its peak, it's just like, even if they're all on stage at the same time,
you hear something different.
It's when Wayne Marshall comes, it's just like, you know, so Wilma Zimgo. You hear it. The Alliance, it was a very textured group.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
And what I'm saying,
that was a golden age of that.
Yeah. Can't tell all of them still, but
that's another conversation. Talk about that. Yeah. Probably that's why he's locked up.
Whoa!
But no, man, Alliance era was an era. Alliance era was an era, brother.
No, man, that was a fun era for dancehall.
I'm just saying that that collective that the collective I was referring to before, and I hope them still love me, although I criticize them. I love them deeply, but like I feel like it lacks. That's what it lacks: texture.
Yeah.
you know. Yeah.
Shadow, so, how did you get into PR? That's what me you want to ask. How you get into
PR? That probably is the most interesting story. So let me just give you a quick synopsis. All right. So after completing university, I'm actually a software engineer.
Mm.
Right, which people can never understand. How
so Shadow, you studied to be a software engineer.
Yes.
And what caused you to make that switch?
Ian Boring.
Yes. Yeah, that's the as I said, it's a very interesting story. So as I said, professionally I'm a software engineer.
Uh-huh.
However, I got a job with a friend of mine. He had an IT company, and while I was there writing code, at the time, I mean, I went to, let me give you a little bit of a background. So I went to Jamaica College, and then while I was working at this company, a young man came there who went to Calabar.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was driving a Honda, and when he came there, he was driving a Toyota, and then written on the front of his Toyota was Honda Side, mm-hmm. as in Honda Killer.
Yeah.
So yeah. I am there waiting for him to come in this interview. I see the car pull up. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe this. Look at this rubbish he have written on the front of his car. You know what? He's not even going to get a chance.
Yeah.
From come in and open his mouth, we're done.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Moving
anyway,
on.
Came in, did the interview, got the job.
Yeah.
Fast forward. One day, his car wasn't working. I decided to give him a drive home because he lived close to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, going home, we heard a lady say, oh, my God, you need to run, go to the arcade, go buy 2 CD cars, go back to New York, and I don't have it, my son, I go kill me.
Yeah.
And I said to my brethren, you hear what she just say? You think what I'm thinking? And he's like, nah, dude, you know you're always thinking some out-of-the-box thing. And I was like, nah. I was like, what if we could come up with an idea where we could stream music and put that out there to people so that they can get the stuff directly from Jamaica without having to be buying anything?
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, that idea is insane. But
brilliant.
How the hell are we going to do that?
Fascinating.
And we sat down to work at it, and we created 876radio.com.
Yeah.
Don't know if you're familiar with that or you ever heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Right. It's like one older.
Right. Yeah. So we created 876.
Like 2010, them time there?
No, much, much earlier. Yes.
Like 2003.
Right. So we created 876radio.com. That was literally the first streaming platform.
Yeah.
Right. And we started to do that. And then what happened, a lot of entertainers started to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That time they used to use, like, I think it was Winamp and some other little things to listen.
LimeWire.
Yeah, that was like, as I said. And a lot of artists started to listen, and they started to send us email and said, listen, how we can get our music on this stuff?
Yeah.
And we started playing the music, and then we said, no, but we need a website, and the website need to have, like, news and stuff on it. So my friend said, all right, you know, none of us not really into writing, so here's what. Since you seem to be good at English, Shadow, you handle that.
You can talk. So you
right.
Write.
So I started writing some little stories, and, you know, we put up the stories, and then people's like, yo, publicists started to contact us now and like, listen, can you put this thing on your site? And I was like, sure. And then how it actually started, you know, it was Vibes Cartel. It was actually, no, it was Roach, Patrick, who introduced me to Cartel.
Mm.
And him said, Cartel, look, you see the little uptown new time body, you know, him start 876radio.com and him write the thing them you need for know him.
Yeah.
So I'm there and looking on a Cartel and like these 150 guys. And I'm like, yo, God, I really need to leave here. Like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, man, here I want to do. I want to start hang around with me.
Yeah.
And everything we do, we just want you to put it up on the site.
This is Cartel.
Right, yes, this is Vibes Cartel. And then Cartel is like, listen, we want you to start travel with Rhino and just govern him thing for me.
Yeah.
And I started traveling and I'm like, boy, you know, this is not so bad, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of sitting in an office writing code the whole day, you know, maybe going out, flying the chicks, the money,
so the road
life.
Code was better than the code.
So, yes. So the road code. So in essence, the road code
very clever.
Was a little nicer than the code.
Yeah. He has his moments.
And pretty much I deviated and I've been there since.
No, that's an amazing story.
From one artist to another.
And it just like,
right.
You know, I'm glad you say uptown, so when me hear you talk, I said, you have the uptown nasal sound. Which part of them come from?
No, actually,
hold on.
No.
What's wrong with uptown?
Hold on,
no,
hang on. What's wrong with uptown?
I'm just trying this from the edit.
No, hang on. I will have you know, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm not uptown.
You come from country?
No. I actually, lived in Moscow, because that is where my father is from.
Oh, okay.
That's close to Waterhouse.
That's Waterhouse. Not close to. That's in Waterhouse.
That's in Waterhouse. That's close.
Remember what I said? I thought you were talking Russia, to be honest. Remember what I said? Remember what I said about 6 or 7 episodes ago? Uptown is a mentality.
I learned that from...
Construct.
I learned that from a great mentor of...
Yes, a social construct.
Yeah.
I learned that from a great mentor of mine. I think Melbourne mentor too. Where I'm usually say, like, you know,
yes.
there are 4 schools in the same area. Mm-hmm. Alpha, KC, George's, and Holy Trinity. And Holy Trinity is the only inner city school.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're within the same space.
Literally.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. You know. But really good conversation, Shadow Douglas. It's not like you want to say something.
No, you're not talking from Dino.
You see me?
We're going to get into the conversation.
Oh my God.
Blue tongue.
I think we'd have edit that out, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have edit that out, brother. And Douglas make it can't edit out now.
The blue tongue?
Yeah.
Why would we edit out?
Can't edit out now because Douglas talk about it.
Can we stop saying blue tongue?
What's wrong with the blue? The problem I have with you guys is that you are just afraid. I don't know. It's the same thing with the. Why are we afraid of our own bodies? Like, your tongue is your tongue and it's in your mouth.
And it's blue.
And it's blue. So you have to own up your, you have to own your tongue. Own your, whether it's blue, black and yellow, whatever.
So the first burning topic we have this evening, Shadow, you know what I'm saying? Is it possible? Because remember, we said the episode is just a friend, but we've been talking about PR.
I see the topics here, but I want to bring up something, and it's been burning, and I want to talk to you about
it. All right.
All right, talk about it.
Did you guys, you guys saw the thing where the High Court actually ruled that schools will be allowed to ban people that wear dreadlocks.
Hold on, let me actually read that something.
The Supreme Court of Jamaica ruled.
Can I share something with you? All right, read it, Melbourne.
So it says, give me some on the context. Eve of Emancipation Day, the Supreme Court ruled that the constitutional rights of a 5-year-old girl were not breached in 2018 when she was denied access to the Kensington Primary School, a prestigious public school in St. Catherine, because of her dreadlocked hair. Emancipation Day, August 1, is celebrated in Jamaica to mark the end of slavery in the British Empire. The ruling has shocked human rights advocates and puzzled the parents of the 5-year-old child. The child's father, Dale Vorago, believes that Jamaica is taking a backward step at precisely the time that the rest of the world is embracing change and booking systematic racism.
Facts. Me glad this come out, because I'm tell you something.
Yeah,
it's weird. England, I study, which is like the nucleus of colonialism, right? And I have my hair is like just like nobody was a bit higher, spiky. You know, me go class, everybody love me, everybody say me prince, me say African, nice. Me go anywhere me want go. Government, me get a government work, and me never go looky government work, you know, at them. Call me and say, if me want a work, blah, 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 me apply for it, and me come to Jamaica, me not do work. All of a sudden, them start putting me clothes, and say me clothes them tight, and blah, 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 me loosen up the clothes them. Them start saying me hair. Me need to cut me hair. I work in a, let's say, culture place. You know?
Yeah.
Me need to cut me hair. So me said to them one day, you know, because one of the big woman, HR woman, she wear a wig every day come to work. So me said to her, you mean... my real hair, growing out of my real head.
Yeah.
Me say, anything that should be illegal
is your wig.
Anything that's fake. Yeah. How can something real be bad?
Yeah.
And it's the same dumb shit, like people in parliament, I can't say shit, right?
Yeah.
Dumb shit in parliament of on white wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White wig.
Let me tell you.
Brother,
you
see, I hate that
let
so
me
much.
Tell you. You see, if them want to say your hair cannot be untidy, okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
But untidy in itself is relative because
very relative.
Tidiness is aligned to Eurocentric ideals. Especially when it comes to
what
hair.
What I'm saying is when you wake up in the morning, your hair is not tidy. It doesn't matter what your hair texture is. It is
my hair always tidy when I wake up. You can't give me
depends
no argument.
But kind of bed and mattress. Yeah, yeah.
Right. No, but you probably wear a bonnet and them things. It looks like you wear a bonnet.
We wear a sleeping cap, brother. Watch that bonnet argument there. We had brother.
You wear a bonnet.
Watch that sleeping cap. Watch that bonnet
right.
argument.
So
there.
That's it. But I'm saying, no. And that's because that keeps your hair neat.
Yeah.
If you went to bed without your bonnet or your sleeping cap and you just your head just blams up on the pillow. Yeah. And you wake up in the morning, you hear, I got not up. Yeah. You hear, and even if...
Not
even,
up no means
no,
that the man
no,
I say. Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Supposed
right.
to be natty.
That's Douglas, just an Douglas, example. Guys, stop cutting me off. I'm making a point.
All right, Douglas, talk.
That's what I'm saying. Even not even just our kinky hair. Yeah. I mean, like, even if you hear straight, and you wake up, you hear it all over the place, and it just don't look good. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
So
then when I say your hair is untidy, then okay.
I right. still think in the Jamaican context, tidiness is aligned to Eurocentric
ideals. No, you are right. That's what I'm saying.
And
if their ideals of tidiness was applied across the board, then all right, but it's not.
Because
if
that's the point
if you
I was
have
just
black
going to
hair,
make.
Then they consider your hair more untidy.
Precisely.
But if
yeah.
a
white
person wake up and roll into the school and are hair everywhere, nobody
cares.
Nothing.
She's a wash and go.
Brother,
that's exactly yes. that's
when
I'm
me
saying.
I go high school, no, brother, and me I grow my hair, no, brother. Zane, me have to cut my hair, but they have some youth where they're of a different ethnic background.
Yeah.
It's me afford from. And them man, their hair can't long, so.
Yeah.
And nobody not tell them to cut for them ear. Why? Because for them ear straight. You understand my thought, man? I always found that very prejudicial at high school.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Some used to
high school
acquire.
Is terrible.
Listen, that's why up to now,
yeah.
some teachers at high school, then can't, me
they can't even say hello.
Me
yeah.
not
yeah.
read
it's,
them,
it's the same thing.
Listen,
I don't.
And them a black man, brother?
I had teachers who encouraged boys. I went to George's.
Yeah.
They would tell, listen, buy a hairbrush. And they would vet you before you come inside the class. If it's not the first session, they're vetting you. Before you come in the class. And they tell you, brush your hair. They tell you, cut your hair. Your hair, roly-roly. Black pepper green.
Black pepper green.
We all go with that. You right? And the white brother beside me, theme here long. Like you said. Don't, you know, reach down I'm knee.
Brother.
You right? So, I agree with you. And I think what Doug is saying is that there's some sort of middle ground to find. Right, but
yeah,
I feel like it's like a slippery slope.
I think it's a middle ground.
I don't think it's necessarily a middle ground. We need to put certain things in place. There need to be guidelines, I guess, you know, streamline against health,
mm-hmm.
hygiene, and stuff like that.
Precisely.
So then once you're here now, put nobody's health at risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it should be fine,
and it should be fine once yeah. Because Melbourne and I, we went to the same. School,
uh-huh.
and I can tell you, I was very. It was just a sad thing. Like people who had locks, they had to wear a tom. You know, there's a, like and something you can imagine that them they had school in a clarinet.
Even at PE, you had to.
What obsessed me the most about it is that something like locks is uniquely Jamaican.
Yeah.
It is uniquely Jamaican. That is our thing, and that's indisputable, dog. So like for them now to say. As a Jamaican people, we are going to allow schools to outlaw something that's Jamaican. It's anti-Jamaican, and
yeah.
I think
not
it's backwards
not
and counterproductive.
When
and it's
Crawford.
As a product of the zeitgeist of Generation X, which is entirely deferable to the colonial ideals that they were raised upon.
Yeah.
What about Shadow? What do you think about this? We're going to bring another conversation. What about you? What do you think about this happening in this time?
I mean,
2020.
Personally, based on what the narratives that you read a while ago, I think that's a regression for us as a society.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It makes no sense because I don't really see how exactly does one hairstyle affects their intellect and their ability to learn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is my yes, I can understand and appreciate that, you know, you must have standards and decorum in anything you're doing, especially any sort of organization.
Yeah.
For, you know, because... Society tries to teach uniformity, you know. We want everybody to look a particular
Lops.
Way, right? But you can't... Everybody's not the same, especially because of ethnicity and also because of how you... socialization.
Yeah.
So you can't take everybody. It's like saying, okay, let me take a fish, a frog, a rat,
and a
dog, and I'm
Eat
going
the
to
same
let
place.
All of them climb a tree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to be handicapped based on your skill sets,
yeah.
right? So the same thing is that you can't use, as Doug said, you can't take Eurocentric standards and use that to judge everybody.
Yeah,
it makes absolutely no sense.
Zero. Zero.
But I thought we were, you know, with like Crawford and Terry Long being in,
yeah,
like, you know, in Parliament and stuff like.
Yeah. I mean, there
just like, I think we are,
steps have been made forward, dog, but there are still these little nidoses of the,
yeah, that's
of eras past that still exist, mm-hmm, and it exists primarily within the people that are running the courts and stuff like,
yeah,
that, and
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Generally, those older people and them same people they talk about will sit down in a court with them white wig.
Yeah.
Them obviously they would see flashy. Look how flashy you need. Mm-hmm. He would have, yeah, them would have said that and say, oh no, we don't want to see that, because from eras gone.
And you're only saying Melbourne Burns here need because it in a bun.
No, if
no, but where must it make sense? Where must it make sense? Because if, yeah, if I had not done my hair for a few weeks,
if his hair was, it was not in an Elizabethan, yeah, bun.
No, but no, 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 but no. What he's, first of all, it's a dumpling. It's not a bun. It's a dumpling.
Okay. But
where I'm trying to get at is this, Zin. My hair is neat now because of how it's been done. I did. Well, I'm, yes, well, I'm, well,
yeah,
I'm G.
Yeah, no, that's no, what we're saying.
We're
let
saying.
Let him communicate.
It's very neat. It, me hair do yesterday.
Yeah.
Big up Just Natural. Let's big up Trudy. Big up Tash. I yesterday me hair do. Zine. So what we say is this: had I not gone to the
bonnet,
had I not got my hair done, mm-hmm, Zine, I'm left it for 1 3 hour, 1 4 hour, mm-hmm, 1 5 weeks, doing nothing to it, mm-hmm, paying it no attention. One would style my hair as raga raga.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
From raga raga.
Okay.
Kempt.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I don't think you guys are getting my point.
Sorry.
I'm saying, yes, mm-hmm, if you left your hair just to grow for a couple of weeks, yes, you would have get unkempt, right? Mm-hmm. The ideal.
Or the Eurocentric ideal of unkempt.
The Eurocentric ideal of unkempt. Okay, yeah, fine. All right? Yeah. And this may be because it's been ingrained in me.
It has been.
It has been ingrained. No, hold on a minute.
Turn up. All right.
Okay. What I've understood the point of school, or what I've taken from the point of schools telling students that they have to look a certain way,
yeah,
is teaching them how to groom themselves to, you know,
to fit in a Eurocentric worked force,
yeah,
and a work system,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, well, yeah, dog.
It's a slippery slope.
What you say? Because it's the same principle, yeah, that in my high school.
All right, point taken. Yeah. I concede.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not being sarcastic. Point taken.
No.
Okay. I concede. Yeah, yeah. You are right.
Okay, all right. Ding, 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 ding. Andrew must be like to move it, right?
No. That's a fair point. You're absolutely right, because when I think about it, in any white predominated area, yeah, right? If a white person just let them hair grow out,
yeah,
and get wild, nobody not gonna listen, yeah, to them.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't look wild in quotation. But let me tell you, I can respect the fact that, because I think that's what this show is about. Like, there are different points where with a car we are talking about our relationships, our race, or whatever, where like we got to a point of realization.
Yeah.
And
learning, unlearning, and relearning.
No, what's important, a lot of people don't realize is that, yeah, when you're having a conversation with somebody, yeah, what we need to stop doing is listening to respond,
yeah,
and listen to understand. Yeah. Because when you listen to respond, yeah, all you're trying, yeah, to do is, you can always have something, yeah, to say, yeah, to somebody.
Yeah.
But if you listen to understand, then you can really meds where you say, Jano, you know, say, for real,
this
is a Eurocentric ideal that, honestly, I need to separate myself from.
Precisely. Yeah.
So, because as you said, it's been so ingrained in us for so long, bro.
Yeah, no, you guys are
so
right.
Much
long, bro.
Feel uncomfortable without a, if you're not there here.
Yeah, bro.
At all.
You can't touch the
you
road.
Guys are
you,
right.
You know what some of the people who are some of the most judgmental people? You know, like older women who are like 60.
Yeah,
for me, like, you know, and so them
55
see, and
up.
Yeah, they say, so, Rayon,
you're here.
You know, you're here. What are you doing?
You're
locking?
Listen, you're
some
no,
of them,
you know,
some of them feel lucky. Some mother groom. I regular more around them, but you know what?
You know,
I have a little smile and nod.
Generally, at work, I don't get problems about my hearing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even think my hair is nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was one doctor who specifically told me, as long as you're in my firm, you cannot wear your hair like that.
Whoa.
Tell me straight.
Whoa.
And like this now, and this is how I had it. He told me, say, you can't hear, you wear your hair like that. And there's an example of what exactly you're talking about, Eurocentric ideals. As long as he's seen my hair like this, it's reminding him that I'm black.
Yeah. It's
right? So yeah, it's a reminder that you're black.
And an indication of deep love of self.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No. You're right.
I get it hard. Sometimes, it doesn't just matter what it is. I get it hard from, I'm probably Melbourne too.
Yeah, man.
Because, like,
yeah, man.
One, you don't fit the aesthetic of like the Eurocent everyday cut, and worse, you don't even do like a regular so-called regular job. So for instance, my same high school teachers, like when you know, they sit them down and see you here, like I'm looking at them and say, you clearly not a work.
Yeah.
Like
what, you know, where did I go wrong?
And in my apartment complex, when we moved into the apartment, let's say in January, my housemate and I, my housemate, Feme here worse than mine. Not worse. Feme here is just like dreads, like he might give J. Cole kind of with the weekend kind of look.
Yeah.
And me realized, so like when we are moving, everybody in the complex kind of judge you. One, because we both have that kind of hairstyle, and we both work in PR and advertising. Mm-hmm. So when we go work a morning time, we don't look like we go
jacket and
we go work.
Yeah.
So we literally just see how skeptical they were of just the hair.
Yeah, man.
Alone,
brother. Me can't deal that in Jamaica, brother. 2020, brother. I wanna move beyond
that,
brother.
Yeah, we have a long way to go.
Society's progressing. Times are changing. It's just that
step forward and 10 steps backward, brother.
The people are Let me tell you. Less so that we're taking 2 steps forward and 1 step back. I think we're making baby steps.
Yeah.
I honestly think we're making baby steps. Remember, say one time, you walking on the road with dreads, people would already be judging you.
More than judging, brother. More than judging,
You'd be discriminated off course, brother. Poor guys is the biggest.
Biggest attack on Rastafari in Jamaica.
Anyway,
so just to close out the point, it is our responsibility as this generation to help to educate other people on how we want our culture to be. So for example, Doug, you're a doc. It means that when you open your own firm, people who apply, you know, have a hair or a deportment or no deportment fine. You know, you have to wear your shirt have a clean and whatever.
Right.
But you're not gonna tell a man you can't work here because they're here.
Right.
Rayon, if you open a PR advertising firm, you're not going to tell a man say, yo, you have to wear a jacket and tie, come and work every day or else. Right. So it's our responsibility to unlearn those who are coming up and just set the standards of how we want things to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Well said, Kingsley.
With each generation, we learn more and we become, we change.
Yes.
The zeitgeist differs with each generation.
Yeah.
So it's now we just have to keep that going. We can probably make bigger strides than there were before.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep going. Yeah.
We have to be the agents.
So that when my son decides, say, yo, him want wear him dreads in a court if he want to be a lawyer or whatever he want to be.
It's fine.
Nobody not going to tell him. It's fine. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's
yeah, man. With that said, crowd of people, one can see so passionate about that topic here because we're all Jamaicans. We're all one people, brother. Out of many one people, brother. We don't need fear. We need that segregation. It's not necessary again, brother. It's not necessary again. Zine. So we could get into the burning topics.
Yeah, at least one of them.
We have a couple minutes left. Zine. So Shadow, are you first? Me and Axel are going on. Zine. So you're part with Govi them and Diddy them. Zine. And we don't know the thing. Go on a song, recent song, the Chris song and them thing. The other one go again. Or the first one, go the chorus. What the chorus go again?
No, man.
Chris song, man. The chorus go again, man.
Part 1 and 2.
How so the thing said, dog? If you're soft, you'll treat you like insect, dog.
Yo, that's wicked.
Goffy, wicked. Zine, so more ask now. Zine.
Stop sex with the topic people
then, with the panda topic then. Zine. Male, female relationships. Zine. So I want to know from you, Shadow, your opinion. Is it possible for men and women to be just friends? Let me contextualize it. I have a brethren where him said to me, say, him a no woman, him no one a friend from no woman. And a friend thing him a look.
He's dumb.
Him a look.
Dark.
Intimacy. So no woman not supposed to be him friend. Him no friend gal.
Yeah.
So context. That's the context.
Right. Well, as I said, to expound on the question you asked, pretty much as I said, it really comes down to what is your intent. You can be friends with, as a men and women can be friends if there is no intent, as in sexual intent, or to escalate anything beyond just a mere friendship. But if you are looking for something beyond that, then no, they can't be friends.
What the other man believe?
Everybody claims that me day we die.
Well, every time as I talk to a woman out here, everybody claims that me day we die.
No, I've been through that. I've been through that.
High school. For me, I don't have. I go co-ed school.
Yeah.
So me, even though my friends may have like, if me have three male friends, me have three female friends, and like, this have to deal with security in ourselves, you know, and communication. Like you just have to know, say, you know. Your thing good a yard and yeah. And
but I'm gonna tell you, female, it's I think it's important to have female, for a man to have a male, to have female friends and a female to have male friends,
yeah.
Just for perspective, bro. Yeah. Just for perspective, because certain things that I can, certain conversations that I can have with my female friends, we can't have them conversation with my male friends, because my best friend Money is, she's a female, you understand, yeah. What I'm from, and up to last night, me had an assignment and I couldn't do it at home. You see me afford from, but I could call her 9 o'clock in the night and, yeah, go our yard and me sit down and me just do schoolwork and me feel comfortable. You understand,
yeah,
me afford,
yeah,
from?
Yeah, so, yeah, some girlfriends, let's say, mm-hmm, you'd have a girl, you'd have a girl, mm-hmm, say, we had over our yard in the hours there, late, yeah, hours, and then, you know, some boyfriends that say, Burns, enough to come our yard past 10
Which
o'clock.
Goes back to the security.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. But for me, one of my best friends, Dana Lynn, big up yourself, Dana Lynn.
Good girl.
A woman,
yeah.
Right?
No, it's a Dana Lynn, a woman.
You know, for those who don't know, you have a virgin. Yo,
people
Dana Lynn, where the dog?
Yo, dog, Dana, where the boy?
Dana, where the dog? Anyways, yeah. Dana is one of my best friends. And yeah, from day zero, I was just fascinated by how we connected on an emotional, spiritual level. And there was no sort of intent from either of us,
yeah,
to do anything else,
yeah,
right? So I could be at her house 11 p.m., 1 a.m., and the inner cross my mind for say,
I'm
yo,
glad to
remember do something. So much so, when we were at UWE together, it was our final year. We got into regular, but we find it uncomfortable to dance with each other.
Yeah.
So I found it uncomfortable. I didn't say anything for that, because we became friends in 2011. I left in 2014. So it's like we were having a conversation and she said, you know, someone don't want to dance with you because it feels uncomfortable. I was saying, yo, brother, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Right? Because she's like, we're the same age, you know, but yeah, she's like, yeah, a little, yeah, big sister.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
a little big brother.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, we'll go into you now and say, yo, we're going to dance tonight. You see me?
Yeah.
And
she just weird and awkward.
She come cross and she dance and it lasted for 1 second. Come here and say, no, brother, this
not feel right.
This
not feel right.
So that's not the model of all my male-female relationships.
Yeah.
Some of my other friends, we're different.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that it's very possible, if you don't have the intent, if you don't cultivate it, if it's there, let's say you had a crush, right? If you don't cultivate it, if you unlearn the crush, is it me? I just understand, say, yo, this I'm a virgin, yeah, and I eat,
yes,
that. Don't cross the line.
Yeah.
Don't see her drunk and say, yo,
yeah,
all right,
time,
I'm going to time this. You see me? No. So, yeah, got
let
you,
let me tell you, you see, my female best friend, Vanessa, one of them, the other one named Demi, bring up Vanessa, bring up Demi, also women.
Yeah.
Anyway, them there. So, when me and one of them just became friends. As in, this was back in high school. So more than 10 years now, we're friends. And we just start talk at first, because she was my first real female friend when we're close to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? When we just start talk, we swear, so we did like each other, right?
Yeah.
And I saw with them, we never did that, ever. It get to the point where I was at her house one night, about 1 o'clock, and we're there. And we chat till about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we not did nothing. Yeah. And there was absolutely no urge to do nothing until we made it and we said, you know, say, I don't think I like it like that.
Yes.
I just think this is like a friendship. And that was the first time I realized that I don't like her. So yeah, that's the kind of relationship we have.
Precisely.
Right? And it's the same thing with my other friend, which we can talk about anything. There's nothing I hide from any of them.
Yeah.
I can talk to them about it. And it gets to the point where I know how my female friendships should be or what they should feel like.
Exactly.
One of my exes, you know her, man, the short brown rasta man.
Yeah, man.
It gets to the point where now me and she are bridging
yeah.
to the point where when we go out, we can't dance with each other.
Yes.
That is why we look for yourself when you said that.
So you that was a very long relationship.
What? Yeah, that was a long relationship with about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I like having female friends.
Yeah, man.
Having female friends is very,
very
important.
Because let me tell you, in another way, they will show you a perspective that you
yes.
cannot see.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yes.
talk to your virgin about it, they're going to show you the man perspective.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And when you come to him with your man perspective and him reconfirm with female perspective,
yeah, man,
I said, Jono, you know something, right?
But the worst thing with me, though, I have some female friends, you know, where like, when, because I, as I make me like tap into my feminine side,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so. Me and some female friends are rough, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me go like very emotional, me sad, and me, you have some women who just them not having that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I also like that side. It kind of give me a window into just different kinds of women. I'm gonna really put women into a one box to say girls are like this.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I like that you raise that point because some women and I said this some time ago.
Yeah.
Some men are agents of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. Some women are agents of toxic femininity.
Watch out. Sorry. Me no want to cut it off. As you talk about the masculinity. Zin, me ask a question. No, me ask an
No, but you cut me.
No, sorry, me cut you. Sorry, me cut you. I can't. We don't have a whole heap of time. Zin, so Shadow. Okay,
all right.
Remember Shadow there, you know? A Shadow at the general today, you know? Zin, so Shadow, watch the next question. Zin, so you know the thing, go. When Mrs. Shadow, I say, yo, you that Shadow, the girl them Sunday, Monday. Eh? The girl them rice and paste pan on Wednesday. Oh, that. Eh? Shadow the girl, them girl criminal, wagwan boy. So it's men complimenting men.
Yeah.
Do you think
Remember, it's
a good
always
idea
performing.
For men to compliment each other? Men to compliment each other. Do you think it's a good idea?
And how it's done?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as I see it, I mean, it's important because it builds camaraderie amongst each other. Because, you know, so many times because men are driven by their ego and you know, and especially because it's society makes it so it becomes a very testosterone driven space.
Yeah.
So you always think it's always about bravado and you have to be, you know, super homophobic and you can't heal your bridging if your bridging have on a nice shirt, you can't say, yo, that shirt is fire.
Yeah.
It's like
But you the fact they said that church is
fire.
The thing about
the language.
A lot of times when other men are, you know, saying complimenting other men, it's just like we have to put the compliment in a hard shell.
Yes. You can't say a man handsome.
What are you
instead of saying, Kingsley, you look nice today. Yo, bro.
You're fresh. As me say, not even that. My man, now go see your fresh. I'm going to look at you and say, yo, I will forget that I got take away. Left to a girl, left to me, man. Left to a girl, left to me, dog.
But let me tell you, I think that reflects in the way that we, because we speak differently to our female friends than we do to our
friends. That is true.
But it's weird. Jamaican men, you're the iron of it. Jamaican men, they love each other.
Love
them friend.
We do things to impress our brethren.
Our friends, more than probably even
more than women sometimes.
We probably spend more time with
No, it's not just Jamaica. I mean, Future have a song where say, I ride for my niggas, I lie to my bitch. It's everybody.
Yo,
everybody.
One time I wear a first suit, I'm going to a place with my brethren. And the man take out his phone and say, yeah, babes, King's level on a suit, so don't come around, yeah? Rather than say yo, virgin,
you look dapper, my friend.
But
my
let me tell you though. Men will have this thing that say, me no want no man compliment me, compliment me.
But I'm
telling you, any other man they will say that if you compliment them, they're gonna say, John O'Dog, respect. Because
bro.
I was at John O'Dog, stop my dog.
I'll tell you something. It's we know like about it, but a lot of men suffer from low self-esteem.
That is true.
And insecurity. And I have realized that from my friends, one of my jobs as a friend is to reinforce to my bridging them that, guess what? You're smart.
Yeah.
You look good.
Yeah.
You're sharp. You're talented. I'm in a constant mode of reinforcement.
Yeah.
And me know, when me I tell them that, me know put in a wash, me know say, yo, dog, you're fire. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
You look good today.
Yeah.
As you said that, it makes me wonder really who is really more insecure, men or women?
Women.
Shadow.
insecure. Women. Women.
You think women are more insecure? Shout out. Why? Remember, why do you think women are more insecure? Why do you think women are more insecure?
I mean, if you just take a glance at sociology or even like clinical psychology, you will see it. Because, all right, even skip past that. Let's just look at the basics.
Yeah.
If you look at the amount of embellishments that are out there that women use just for to make themselves feel secure before they actually come into the public space, that within itself says a lot.
Shout out, may I pause upon one?
Sure,
this
please.
All right. Human beings, I think, generally, we, whenever we become conscious or super conscious of our gaps or deficiencies, we try to see how we can make it up. Yeah. Women, that might manifest itself in a very physical way in terms of makeup and dress and preparing themselves. But I think equally, men do makeup and dress up, not physically with makeup and clothes. But there are things that we do to reinforce
facts.
Our positions, and a lot of time that come from insecurity.
But let me tell you. Let me tell you though, because let me tell you.
Don't
tell
you now. You jump on my point.
Sorry, you can remember. I just want to galvanize what you're saying.
I remember.
Right?
I'll pause.
Because if you think about it now, if it was socially acceptable for men to wear makeup, we would be wearing that shit
every day.
If it was socially acceptable for men to wear, it is because we are so insecure in the fact that we can't go on the road with some foundation or, you know. So, you know.
That's not like, yeah, wear foundation and
no,
a quiet boy.
No, but
yes,
you know, to be completely honest, I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I could contour and go on road and do that. I wish I could do that, but people would pre me.
I've done some commercials and the makeup artists even out the tone. And I'm
no,
like,
man,
yo,
when I'm going on camera, I have to wear makeup.
No, definitely. It's a requirement. But I see it and I'm like, yo.
Me not bad.
Me not bad.
Me not bad. You know, can't go on.
We not beat this on the road.
Shadow, I get what you're saying, you know, but I think, I just speak from my experience.
Yeah.
I feel like both men and women suffer from different degrees of insecurity, but women tend to It tends to show in a more physical way.
I was about to say that. All right.
In terms of makeup and the dress and stuff. But males, I know when I feel insecure, there are certain things that I do to compensate for that.
Why do you think the man in the gym are killing?
No, but what I was saying is that I wasn't disputing the fact that men are not insecure.
What you're saying, women
the
are
question really was who is more of the sexes, who is more insecure.
But I just feel like probably you're reading women as more insecure because of how their insecurity manifests.
But as you said, there are several layers to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just decided, okay, just let's look at the basic layer of what you see out there.
Yeah.
And based on that, you realize that women will put a lot more effort when you look right at it from
that's a fair point.
In physical thing, but a man who lives with his woman in a house would start to put other things in place.
Hold on. Him say on a superficial level.
Right.
On a superficial level.
But that's not how he started to argue.
But that's what he just said a while ago.
Okay.
That's why he back it up. Him say on a superficial level.
But cars and you have other things that are superficial. So when you're with the same Will Smith and Jada, there's a when one time Jada said we'll buy her one big house and she never really want a big house. That purchase to me can be read as a form of insecurity which is superficial, right, which
true
is physical.
Fair.
That's
no,
true.
But let me tell you now, let me put something. Let me put a point to you guys. Neither sex is more insecure.
I agree, and that's my point.
I don't think either sex is more insecure. Yeah. I think insecurities of each sex manifest in
different
ways.
Yeah.
They manifest in different ways.
Right now, you conclude the essay good.
In conclusion.
My worthy opponent.
All right, since we conclude that point there, my bridging message me last night, Alex, big up yourself, Alex Legend on Instagram, so you don't follow him. No, him said to Mr. Burns, me have a survey, more you answer something for me, Zine. I'm an embrace no reason. He said to me, if you go to one party and your empress go to one party, Zin, you'd have feel comfortable there a dance with another man. Shadow, you first.
If I went to an event with my significant other.
Party, you know, go dance. Yes, yeah. Far from dance, yeah.
And she was dancing with someone else.
Would you be comfortable with her dancing with someone else, yeah?
Well, I mean, It depends on one if she knows the person and how risky they are dancing.
That was my answer. That was my answer.
Right, so they could dance to, let's say, like a Etana, but not to a Spice.
Let me tell you. The parameters going to be different. Like some people say, yo, you know, say you can dance to maybe TikTok, but you can't dance to heels on. You know, like you can't dance to that. But some people like me have different parameters. You can dance whichever song you want, but you can't fling up on the man.
You can't
spin on the ground and dump on the ground.
Simple Benova and bubble. Probably we're talking about insecurity. Probably on my own insecurity. This is how I'm a very visual person. So I can just see, you know, going out and you dance with somebody else, and then
yeah, see beyond the dance.
Like me, I'll drive, go home, now in that car.
Let me tell you, you don't laugh, you don't enjoy.
Me good, cause what me say to my virgin say is this. First of all, it depends on who are the hombre.
Yeah.
You see, if I'm a virgin and I what are we in a par, me good. You see, if it's a random man where we don't know. And him just come dead and now dance for hours and hours and hours that look away. No, if it's all a random man come teeth a wine and gone, we're good. Is it me afford from?
But
the closer it is to home.
Here are the insecurity comes out sometimes, right? Me not a muscle. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But me just lean, right? Mm-hmm. Now me there with my girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't. Don't go.
We just made that pass.
I'm just lean.
His muscle is lean. That's
my muscle is lean. So dog forward, right? I'm sure the insecurity comes out now. Dog forward. Now.
But dog not really muscular again still, you know?
No, hold on. Cool.
Yo, I saw a picture of myself in 2016 in a dog. Right? It was crazy. Cool.
Dog forward and dog start whine with her. Yeah. Dog just teeth away and gone, right? But because dog have bigger muscles and all of that, me start getting insecure. I say, yo, Jano star. And then a taller brother come.
She's not interested in muscles or taller
No,
people.
But I know that. Yeah. I know that, you know. But the insecurity still exists, right? So, me tell her, I say, yo, when you dance with a man, when you dance with me, you can do a 6:30. Yeah. When you dance with a man, you can do a 6:05.
Yeah, man.
Or a 6:10. Yeah. Right, dog, a 6:15. All right,
I'm a problem.
Whatever. What if the man put her in a 6:20? A problem that.
Let me tell you, for me, yes, it was if all the nigga can't whine like me, me I look and I laugh and I say, watch him.
And that's the insecurity.
Let me tell you, one of my best relationship experiences when it came to a party. We would go to a party and if we see each other, we dance and thing. If we want to spend like 1 hour together, we're good.
Yeah.
And even if we're partying in the same crowd. Yeah. I will be on the cooler drinking and she dance with who she want to dance with. I'm out there dancing with who I want to dance with. She depend on the cooler and she'll do her thing. You know, we just do our own thing. But
I go on fire.
Just no set of rules are there. There's no set of rules.
I don't know. For me,
there.
With my partner engaging with other people, it's exciting.
Ah, okay.
Oh, you're one of those.
All right.
I'm not saying go and have sex.
Yeah.
But I think
August.
I think
August. August with Anna.
Yeah, August.
August Alzheimer's.
Guys, I just think love is a very true love is a very liberating thing.
But I dance with the man. But I come dance with the man certainly. No way I do.
Personally
for me.
Both feet on the ground.
When
yeah,
I go to
flat.
The party, I want to party with my girl.
Yeah.
Right? So I like to dance with you. You dance with me. But if a man come to for wine, I have no issues with that. So long as I stay above 6:15.
I just had a visual like thing. Just imagine I get you the Jada Kingdom. We want to say, are you me want till the end? Watch your girl and dance.
No, sir, so slow down the song. Half of me and her.
When
you go into a party with your girl, you and her have a relationship kit in terms of how this type of song, the pace of the song.
Here's the thing.
And the shape of the body.
Most of the girls I've dated, when certain songs come on,
they're
find you. They're
find you. Yeah.
So you see, you have the
ever blessed good. Yeah, man.
You have to find me. You see me? But if you have a spider, tip on you too, right? You want to not bag up and jump up and
you know, man, we play it cool.
Yeah, yeah. You see me?
Because you know, say, if Fever play and you're that way out there, so you know.
But you know, I don't know where all this come from. You know, that the relationship, we know that who teach about relationship, but we feel like we own people.
We do. We do. I spoke about that.
That's the thing about generally relationships, that's the policy that they lead into, not believing that you own something.
No, it's not about ownership, it's sharing. So, like, me, you're not supposed to go to one party, and I say, Kingsley and them girlfriend are going, and Kingsley say, no, my girl, Nanda, you're not owner, buddy.
Yeah. So what can I share?
No, but in the same, no. I thought when you said sharing, as in you and your partner sharing each other.
Yeah.
Because she are your woman and you are fear man.
Yeah, we own each other.
So, yeah.
I don't, love has nothing to do with ownership. But we can't talk about that next
time. Nah,
that's
not
like
another
episode conversation. That's not like
another episode. Always stay with the timing. Crowd of people, one last thing. We have one last thing.
You know, my brother is a real artist. You know, like, sometimes, like, you know, I don't even like work on production. I say I work backstage on big show. And you tell the artists, them say they must come off. Yeah, wrap them up. The other day, I was on a show with Ding Dong. I mean, I wrap up Ding Dong.
Oh, long.
I like, I said, Ding Dong, time for rap. Ding Dong, instead of Ding Dong, rap.
Japanese
song. Like, talk on the mic. I said, yeah, them are wrap me up. We want to have a seamless production.
No one is
backstage giving you a time ticket. You just know when it's done.
Yeah.
Same thing here. Melbourne is like, time are done.
For me, it's come to a point where I think, but if you make the audience know, alright, you want an audience, me that love for chat for our next hour, but
yes, because that time is, for done. That is how it makes producer me
reason with
as
me
a, so as, a, as a patron, when the artist said that, so when them say, right, people, you want them a wrap me up, me I say, Jano, Ding Dong, you know someone tomorrow, but do I have to do?
What I like about international performances and the international thing,
it's time based.
You know, say you come for do 15 minutes,
and that's it.
You rehearse your damn song.
No, man, this is another thing that is uniquely Jamaican.
You rehearse your song. And then you're done in your time.
No,
slot.
You know, personally for me, I'm going to spend extra time on stage because I do not like when it happens because I just feel like artists, I think it's very unprofessional. You know what
I'm saying?
I agree.
And that's why for me, if them say 2 minutes left, I'm more and more realize me, I say, John, what's time? I'm not the people know, say, watch what I go on now. The time I run out, so I'm going to enjoy the last 2 minutes. So them can know at the last 2 minutes. So them don't expect 10 more minutes. And then when we done that 2 minutes, them I say, yo, John will start out all the performance. Feel so that just get nice.
Yeah.
So I'm just make them know, say, yo, go out and call the people. Yo, them I say, 2 minutes, me have left. So you know, me I run 3 more songs in 2 minutes. I'm going to just rinse off 3 more songs. Quick.
I'm a story. At Drumfest, when Ding Dong went on after.
Terrible.
It was horrible.
Terrible.
Right?
Worse, I've seen Ding Dong.
Big him up, but it was horrible. He came on upset. Right,
because
he was supposed to do an hour,
yeah,
and it was only half an hour left,
yeah.
And he was, you know, the, I don't know if you.
Yes, I was there. I was actually there with Bugle.
Oh,
that's what I mean. Like when artists don't respect other artists' time. Precisely. When you got 2 hours, bro, you take out some of my time, brother.
I think it was bigger than
artists running over time.
I think Protégé performed before Ding Dong, and Protégé bring out Leela and them.
Leela and
Seven, all everybody tear on the place. Wicked performance.
Yeah.
And then Ding Dong came off. I think the crowd was receiving Ding Dong. The problem was that Ding Dong
felt out of
Ding
place.
Ding Dong used to when people say, go on to the road, the whole audience are going to go on to the road. Yeah, this is Rumfest. People now go on to the road. Yes. Let them enjoy in a different way.
Let me finish the point. Well, no, finish
the point. When they finish the point, let me go one last point and we're done. Because we wrap about 10 minutes before we start
rap. He felt out of place because nobody never run up and
I was down. Enjoying him though until he started cussing me. Until he started cussing.
Yo, them cut my time but watch them do that song. And it's just a bag of dance and I say, yo, when are you going to evolve as the artist and just work with what go on, right? So, you know, just do your thing. Yeah, your rave as the pan stage. Live your life.
Yeah. Now, my close thought with this. Zine, for the artist, them. You have a closing statement for me, too, you know, so go and think of a closing statement for the artist, them. Zine, so for me, artists must understand the audience that they're performing for. Artists must understand. Say, who me perform for is not an audience where it's not a jump up audience.
But that's a part of management as
you
well.
Understand what management,
artists not just go up and run and say, alright, me go sing 3 songs. To me, and I kind of want to go in artist management. I think me do that in time in my 50s.
It makes sense.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Like, if you, as an artist, like I know, like I know one, I know a guy who works with Beyonce, like him choreographs stuff here and stuff. And like, sometimes I try, like, I say, like, just try to get an idea of how things work.
Yeah.
And everything I've all, it's like, it's intense. It's just like when you work in advertising,
yeah.
And you get a brief,
yeah.
And everybody sit down from all the and I decide how we're gonna approach, how it's gonna work. Why best? We don't feel like we always have
that.
And I guess it's probably because of the economy of our thing.
It's a structure. No, it's not the economy. It's the structure of the industry. It's how the industry works, how the industry came to be, and how it continues to operate. How artists come to be artists. You understand where I'm from?
Yeah.
And how the artist is idolized as well, because the artist in Jamaica, the artist are the man, you know?
Yeah.
The art, and it's because he's the man, I can do what I want to do. The artist can get away with so many things, and because he can, it's going to happen, and it mash up everything, because artists are come a stage show late when him feel like, and when he come late, there are no sanctions. Man does forward late, him still I get him pay, still I get him performance time, and if then cut in time, he vex and rant and table, but everything he might come back at the show next year again. And that's a problem.
I have a last point. That's a part of it. On the artist thing. Oh, God. By the time we're done, the artist about us kick me off of the show.
Them can't kick you off of the show. We educate them.
Yeah. It's like one of the proudest moments I've had as a Jamaican is when Beanie Man, Elephant Man, and Don Penn, and then Shaka Demo Samplies, they performed at the BT Awards. And Shaka, Don Penn is performed. So I think this is Don Penn. I think no. When you're looking at Don Penn and she have the accreditation, you know, like the accreditation where you need to go through the BT Awards, she can have that. You know, she have it tied up on her as she performs. I mean, like, then if you take the accreditation from Don, so she not go up on the stage with it.
Yeah.
And then secondly, Beanie Man come out. Oh no! If you watch that performance vocally,
gone.
Beanie Man gone.
Yeah.
Dying.
Yeah, gone. And I mean, I enjoyed the moment as a Jamaican, but in terms of live up, me say, Sabini no do a vocal warm up.
Yeah.
Why, you know?
You see, we come from a different background. We come from a performing arts background where all these things are important. A lot of them are, brother. Mrs. Kata said on an interview. No.
But when them they're fine, them have to go on time. When them they're fine, them have to go sit down and them have to go do them sound check. And me see artists in Jamaica, because I used to work in production. Artists say, now do him sound check. Him say, next man, come do him sound check. Me say, but for no voice different.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Listen, me done.
Grown up people. This was, right now, that for be our next show. That for be our next show. We need to talk about this on our next show.
Yeah.
Shadow, would I love to have you again for have that conversation about artist management and professionalism in the entertainment industry, because that today's show was not even for that.
Yeah.
But you understand what we talk about. Them things are important for talk about. So Shadow, closing remarks for aspiring artists who have made it but still need to add a little oomph to them thing. Closing remarks for Jamaicans in general. Just some closing remarks.
Well, as it relates to the entertainment industry, I would say for artists, I think the biggest issue our industry faces, we don't have any A&R, artists and repertoire.
Yeah.
And that is basically where all the grooming happens. Mm-hmm. You are taught how to speak, how to articulate yourself, how to use of stage. You get vocal training, all of these things. None of these things are done because our entertainment industry is a very informal space, where if a man just feel you have a talent, he just find a song, and then pretty much because you have a little friend there with a computer who can put together a beat, and they put that and they put it online, and people like it, then all of a sudden you have a song, people want to hear you, but where is the grooming that took you from point zero to 10? There's none of that. So pretty much what you do is going on the live stage and learning. No. There are certain things that you should come with, certain presets that you should come with. So by the time you hit the stage, you should be able to give the people at least a decent performance.
Yes.
And as it relates to other things, you should be able to conduct and comport yourself in a particular manner.
Agreed.
Well said.
Right? And outside of that, another point I'd give to a lot of the young talents is find an image. Find an image for yourself before you decide to launch out. Eventually, you can transcend the image, but find an image to start with. Right? And also, when you're going on stage, get rid of the sunglasses and get rid of the cap and get rid of the towel.
You
are an emerging talent. Yeah. You are an upstart. People need to see you. People need to be able to associate a face and a voice to the song.
Yeah.
You come in on stage, you have towel on. Yo, yo, yo.
Not to mention the 10 other men who are hiding you.
The thing is this, you are supposed to wait until at least you have gotten to a particular level before you can do those types of things.
Facts.
So, facts. Those are some of the pointers I'd facts. Say.
Well said, yeah. Crowder people. That was Shadow, as me say, him are the man when it comes to more rhyme. May I try to find a rhyme? General style. I'm going to come to publicity. I'm going to find a rhyme. I'm going to find a rhyme. I'm going to find a rhyme. You know,
you don't have to say, you don't have to rhyme. You're going to have to say something like, yeah, big up Shadow, bringing in some light. You know, the irony.
Yo, General style. That's why.
Him have them.
That's why. Overthink it a while ago. Like that. Throw that paper. This was Shop Talk. Ensure so you listen on Apple Podcasts. Ensure so you listen on iHeart Radio, Deezer, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, ShopTalkJA. ShopTalk.JA. Just go and go listen, go and go subscribe, go and go share with your mother and your father and your auntie and your cousin, them are foreign. Crowd of people, this was Shop Talk. Out.
Fireful.
Shop Talk. Shop Talk. It's 100% real. The unfiltered truth. Scratch that. I suggest you echo that. Shout Talk.